But we are grateful we are here, and we have the wonderful privilege to open up God's Word. Brother Nelson said I was going to be all over the Bible, and the reason for that is because I'm doing a topical sermon this morning. Now, to do a topical sermon, you can't just be in one specific place. You've got to be all over the place, but not completely all over the place. I'll just be here and there. Just a few places. So if you can open up your Bible so long in Acts chapter 2. And you will see why I am where I am at this stage. And why I'll be using different verses. Acts chapter 2. I remember a few years ago, we had a campaign with an Anglican church, the Evangelical Anglican Church, and in the Eastern Cape. And what happened was, as we were doing Bible studies and as we were, working through God's Word, as we prepared for the campaign, I took the one Bible study and I specifically took this passage with these two verses, and we spoke about it in depth. And I was surprised how surprised the people around the table was, because they've never actually read what it said. And it is just one of those things that there's verses in the Bible that sometimes we just don't see, but then God opens up our eyes to be able to see. And it has a huge impact in our lives. And sometimes it's a small part of a verse, not necessarily the whole verse. Stefan, can I ask you to please just turn me a little bit more? Sorry, things are not working out the way that it should. And even I still got to break my back, my neck, to try to see over there. Thanks, man. All right. Yeah, that's fine. Oh, yes. And what I did was, you see, I've got my bottle. So anybody that sleeps, now I'm not going to throw you with a bottle. There's water in there. So we'll come and do a infant baptism on you. You know, we'll give you a sprinkle. But anyway, so this verse, or these two verses, are very close to my heart. And in evangelism, I used to use it a lot, specifically when I was the connection between the ministry and the churches that we worked with. So I had a lot of Bible studies, a lot of opportunities to speak to the churches that we worked with. And because they were believers, I would like to take them to passages like this, or verses like this, to kind of show them that, especially when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to church growth, when it comes to the growing of the church, when it comes to God blessing the church, these verses are just amazing. Before we read these verses, let's have a word of prayer. Father, what a privilege to come to you this morning, knowing that you are the living Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. There's none like you, never was, never will be, for all eternity. And Father, as we come to you this morning, specifically with regards to membership, and Father, we pray that you will open up our hearts for those who are members, that we will be very attentive, and those who are not members, that they will listen carefully, so that at the end of the day, Father, you may be glorified. And I pray, Father, that in all things, your name be lifted up, that you be glorified, and I pray that you will enable me as your servant to teach your people. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, right there at the end. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. We're also going to read verse 47. Sorry, I just want to make sure that I greet you this morning. If I didn't, I'm so sorry. I'm greeting you now. Good morning to everyone. because things have just been so hectic that I think I forgot half of what I wanted to do and what I wanted to say. So please forgive me. All right. Thank you very much. That's just because I've got the bottle. No, it's fine. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. It says, "And day by day," this is now speaking about the disciples, those who came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, "day by day, attending the temple together," which means that they came together, attended the temple, went to the temple for the different prayer sessions that was at the temple and whatever was done at the temple. We don't really know whether they were still sacrificing, you know, with the others, but the chances are they were not, because Christ already gave them enough teaching on the sacrificial system and that it was going to stop, that I think they stopped going for sacrifices, but they still went to the temple because they were Jews. And the temple was central to being a Jew. All Jews went to the temple. When you were a boy of 12 years old, guess where you'll find him? At the temple. Because it was part of Jewish culture. It was part of Jewish life. God was not just an add-on. God was part of Israel, part of the society, part of everything that Israel did. That's why it was such a great shock for Israel to lose the temple in 70 AD. And even today, you will see how there's an urge among Orthodox Jews to see the temple rebuilt, for sacrifices to be reinstated, so that once again they can live with God central to the nation and the life of Israel. Right. Now, the text continues to say, "So they were attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and gracious hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people." That's amazing. We know that the gospel is offensive. Now, we know that the truth is offensive. But the first congregation in Jerusalem was such an amazing congregation that even the Gentiles, even those who were not saved, the unsaved Jews, they found favor in their sight. Absolutely amazing. And then it says, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." See those words? Who added day by day to their number? God. You see, not just salvation is a God thing. Yes, that's a God thing. Only God can save. Okay? And the way he saves is by faith through by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. That's the means through which he saves. And we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the thing with regards to salvation. It's a gift that God gives to us, obviously, the gift of eternal life, but we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sin, all right? But when it comes to the church, you find people that says, "No, I'm going to this and this and this church," and then later on they say, "No, I'm going to that and that and that church." The only question I want to ask them is, said who? Said who? Is it God who added you to this new congregation? Or is it just because they've got better music? Or the preacher is not that boring. The previous one was very boring. So I will rather go to another church. Beloved, if God adds you to a church, you only leave when God tells you to leave. Because he's the one who adds, and he's the one who says, "It's time to go." There are obviously times that we go from one church to another. It's inevitable. Very few people have the privilege to be in a church for 50, 60 years or 70 years or 80 years, whatever, how long they were. They were born in the church. They grew up. They met Christ in the church. And they died in the church. Very few people have that privilege. Many people get new jobs and they go to new towns. And you got to find a church. But it's prayer. Lord. And this is, yes, adding to the church universal, You are added to the church of which Jesus Christ is Lord. But this is also adding to the local church. Why do I say that? It says, and he added to the church day by day those who were being saved. And he's talking about which congregation? The Jerusalem one, hey? Local. Right, so obviously we know it's got far-reaching consequences as well. He adds us to the church, but he also adds us to the local church. So that we can use the gifts that God has given us in that local congregation, and that we can take up our responsibilities of as members of that local church to bless that church, and so that the church can bless us and God be glorified in everything we do. Does that make sense? All right, because that is so important. If God adds you to the church, and the church asks that you become a member of the church at some other time, I've had people that would not fight me, but verbally be, very adamant that you don't have to be a member of a church. And even if you take them through what Scripture says, it doesn't matter. Because there's this idea that we are individuals and we live our individual faith. There is no such thing as corporate. Where the word local church, basically, now that word congregation means ecclesia. Yeah. It's an assembly. That's why when Brother Nelson read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, do not neglect the assembly of yourself, the congregation of yourselves together, as some have the habit to do. And that doesn't just mean the worship service. It means everything where believers get together. Don't neglect those things. We need one another. And the more, as we see the day of Jesus Christ approach, as we see Jesus Christ coming back to this earth, we need to gather more, not less, more. All right, so whether it's small groups or whether it's a church that's larger or prayer meetings or whatever, make sure that you assemble together, because that's what it means to be a congregation, to congregate, to assemble. Okay, it's in the word. It's actually beautiful. Now, when I joined MET, that was many years ago, I knew immediately that I added some responsibility to my life. At first I thought, nah, I'm just going to be part of a team. Yeah, it's going to be cool. It didn't take long and I realized, nope. God just added more responsibility to my life. I mean, I had responsibility towards the team. I had a responsibility towards the MET board. I had responsibility towards the people we were reaching out to. I had responsibility towards the churches that called us and asked us to come and help them in evangelism. So the responsibilities just became more than when I was just on my own, ministering on my own in music ministry. So that's the reality. That's how it worked. And I knew that I had to pull my weight, because if I didn't, the team was going to suffer. And I knew that if I didn't pull my weight, didn't take up my responsibility, God's work would suffer. And I knew that ultimately God would not be glorified the way that He wanted to be glorified if I did not take up the responsibilities that He has placed before me. Because I was no longer just the individual doing my individual thing. I was part of a team. All right, and it's interesting, you know, that a chain is as strong as the weakest link, not the strongest link. You can have a chain of 10 links, and if one of them is weak, that's where the chain will break. Right. And it's actually a beautiful picture. If you take a chain with the links like this, and you've got one weak link, what do? So you take the two strong links on both sides of this weak link, and you connect those two together. This weak link can just hang there, it's fine, because it's supported by two strong links. That's how the church works. If somebody is weak among you, then the others who are strong need to come and support link together to make sure that this weak link can have time to recover. Not come and say, "Oh, we see you're struggling. Let's give you a few slaps. Let's criticize you." That's not what it's about. Not at all. Now, beloved, by God's grace, I ended up managing the ministry later on. And let me tell you, I had a lot of prayer going into that because I knew now my responsibility was going to increase even more. At that stage, I think we had six teams. And those six teams would come under me and I would be directly under the MET board. And I had a lot of responsibilities that was added on. And I really had to ask the Lord if that was what He wanted me to do. Eventually, I became the management. I got involved as the manager, and I had to take up my responsibility. And it's amazing that normally what happens to the leadership will normally look at you and see, how do you handle the responsibilities in the team? Because before you, they then take you and say, "Listen, we would like to give you more responsibility." You see, to be blessed by God with, let's say, a manager, not a managerial, but I mean, let's say, with an office in the church, or to be blessed by God with a specific task within the church that has responsibility, you must have been able to take responsibility already. And that needs to be acknowledged by the leadership of the church. Well, actually, the members of the church. No? First the leaders, then the members, and they will acknowledge, yes, you can take responsibility, you are responsible, and then you can become, you can take up this new office or this new responsibility within the local congregation. It's very important that we need to understand that we have responsibilities that we have to take up and take possession of. Pardon me, as members of the church. Beloved, it doesn't matter how large or how small the group is that you belong to. You will always have responsibilities that comes with the privilege of being part of that group. Remember, to be part of the church is a privilege. Because God saves you, gives you the rebirth. Nah, it's a gift from Him. And then He adds you to the church. Oh, and He places His Spirit within you, and He gives you gifts that you can use within the local congregation. Wow, what an honor, what a privilege. If you want to talk about privilege, we shouldn't talk about white privilege. We should talk about saved privilege. Because, beloved, it's amazing the privileges we have as children of God. I mean, we receive eternal life as a gift. We don't deserve it. Our best works are like filthy rags in the sight of God, yet He gives us eternal life as a gift. Amazing. Yet God does it, and He does it by His grace. I would like to just share with you quickly what a local congregation is. I got this summary from an article on the Nine Marks website, and I just want to share it with you because it really sums up what a local church is. This is what the article says. It says that a local church is not a building or a place. A local church is a people. More specifically, a local church is born again, spirit-filled people who gather regularly in the name of the Lord Jesus and under the authority of God's word to profess the true gospel and affirm each other's citizenship in the kingdom of God by the ordinances. That definition is a bit of a mouthful. But it shows us two important things about the church and its membership. First, the church has a unique identity. And second, the church has a unique authority. Now, beloved, the local congregation consists of regenerate, spirit-filled people. They have a new identity. They are no longer spiritually dead. They've been made alive in Christ. They are new creations, forgiven of their sins and adopted as God's children. And every church member has the responsibility to become who they already are in Christ by walking in a manner worthy of the gospel. And being born again leads to living a godly lifestyle. God entrusted local assemblies with authority to make decisions on earth on behalf of the kingdom of heaven. Local congregations are basically representatives of God's kingdom. Through baptism and the Lord's Supper and discipline, the local church has the authority to affirm or denounce someone's citizenship in God's kingdom. Beloved, if a local church, if they do discipline on a member of the church and that member doesn't want to repent, and that person is then loosed from the church. That's what the Bible talks now. You are fastened or you're loosened from the church. And the moment that person is loosened from the church, which means that the church says, we are no longer going to walk the walk with you, that means that that person's name is taken out of the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? That's the authority of a local church. And that's why discipline is not something to play with. Discipline is for restoration, which means we go through the process of restoration or discipline because we want that person restored. But if the person continues in their sin and they don't want to repent, they are normally cut off as a member of the church, and that means that they are cut off from the kingdom of God. That's how serious it is. The part about the church ends off with this responsibility falls not only to the leadership, but to the members of the church. Now I would like us to look at a few responsibilities of members. And obviously, brothers and sisters, this is not exhaustive. If I had to do an exhaustive one, we would have been here for a long time. And I would like to take Sister Victoria into membership. You knew that, hey? Okay, so I would like to take her into membership this morning. Otherwise, I'll be finished at 6 o'clock tonight, and that's a little late. anyway. Now, I've taken these 6 responsibilities from the Nine Marks website, written by Matt Imari, is the man's name. I hope it's a man. But anyway, so the first one is that members are responsible to assemble together. Members and local congregations are responsible to assemble together. Beloved, you and I make a decision. Hopefully you've made the decision when you became born again and you started, attending church, and you became a member of a church, that you've already made the decision. Every single Sunday morning you will find me in church. If there's Sunday evening services, you'll find me in church on Sunday evening. Non-negotiable. Except if there's a reason, like sickness, or my parents have a need for some, sickness or something. It's something that's legitimate. Otherwise, you will find me in church. If visitors come and visit me, you can stay at home or you come with me. First option is I want you to come with me. But if you don't want to come with me, then you stay at home. There's coffee and tea and I'll give you rusks and all kinds of stuff. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to church because it's a responsibility that I've taken up as a member of a local church. I watched a YouTube video, Outdoor Boys. It's a thing that he adds new videos every 2 weeks. They just go into the wild and they fish and they camp and all kinds of stuff like that. A man with 3 sons. And I enjoy watching them. And what struck me is every single, except if he's in the wilderness, but if they are at a lodge or are they in an area where they're close to a church, every Sunday, it's on the video, on the YouTube video, every Sunday you'll find them in church. Getting dressed, got their clothes, get up, and they're on holiday. But they go to church. Why? Because they've taken up this responsibility to assemble together. Yes, I mean, he can assemble with his family around the table at breakfast. That's also assembly, isn't it? No, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. It's not the same. No, we need to be with other kind of people. You know, iron that sharpens iron. Those people that rub against you, that not confronts you, but kind of says, how's your spiritual life doing? That kind of thing. We really need to be challenged. And that can only happen with people from other families, not my own family. Even though if you've got a family like mine, you will be challenged. So, anyway. But we have the responsibility to assemble together, and that's where Hebrews 10:25 comes in so clearly, that we have this responsibility as often as possible to gather together. Members may need to assemble for other reasons. No? Other reasons than worship. It could be Bible studies. It could be members meetings where we do budget or receiving new members or handling discipline cases, all kinds of stuff. But whatever the reason is, that is assembling together. But then members are also responsible for protecting the gospel. Did you know that? You and I are responsible for protecting the gospel. The church is the foundation and the pillar of truth. Now, we are the ones who grounds the truth, but we are also the ones who proclaims the truth. But when it comes to the gospel, we are there to protect the gospel, because the gospel can so easily be changed to another gospel, as Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians 11. People can so easily bring in another Jesus and another gospel, these false apostles or false prophets. So the members of the church needs to know the gospel. You need to know it. I must be able to wake you up 3 o'clock in the morning and you're all asleep and I say, quickly give me the gospel. And you must be able to give me the gospel. Why? It needs to be burned into your heart so that you will not stray away from it. At any cost. It's interesting how the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 verse 2 and verse 6 and Galatians 1 verse 7, when he speaks about them and he takes them on because of their error and they distorted the gospel, he doesn't go after the elders. He goes after the church. Everyone. Because everybody is responsible to protect the gospel. That doesn't mean that God cannot protect the gospel. But the thing is, God decided to use you and me. That's the means through which he wants to protect the gospel within the local churches. And that's what he does. And by the way, if all of us know the gospel, the true biblical gospel, no? That was delivered to us through the apostles, through God's word. If we all know the gospel very well, somebody can come in and try to teach us another gospel and nobody will accept it. Which means we are protecting the gospel. We're not protecting the gospel by taking a bunch of swords or AK-47s or whatever weapons, 9mm, and stand and say, we're protecting the gospel. And then there's a Bible lying over there. That's not the way we protect the gospel. We protect the gospel by knowing the gospel. That we will not move to one inch from the true gospel that is written in Scripture and delivered to us by the Apostle Paul. And then the local church is also responsible, thirdly, for defining membership. Each and every local congregation defines what their membership looks like. Beloved, if you look at the Newcastle Baptist Church and what we expect from members, and you look at a hyper-charismatic church and what they expect from their members, it's different, isn't it? But we use the same Bible. We have exactly the same Bible. So why is it that their members can be different to our members? And the church around the corner, their members are different to our members. You see, that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to define what is membership for us. Because we are going to stand accountable before God one day in what we have done in this local congregation. Jesus is the head of this church. He's the shepherd of this church. And he holds us accountable. But we define what it means to be a member. If everybody in the church, all the members in the church, can live whatever life they want. And you find it in some churches. Huh? People can become members and they're sleeping around. People can become members and then they're living with somebody. And they're not married. But they're members of the church. Or they can live in grievous sin, like what we find in 1 Corinthians 5. Now that man that had sexual relations with his stepmother. And the church initially didn't do anything. But the Apostle Paul wanted them to understand that they have to define membership. So he said to them, they need to remove this guy. They need to remove him. Because that's not what a member of the church is supposed to look like. Because local churches, members of local churches, they define what membership looks like. The same thing with holiness of elders and deacons and members. Everything boils down to the fact that the local church decides what it looks like. And it's interesting when Jesus spoke now to the seven churches in Asia Minor. He spoke to each church individually, no? And he could point out exactly what the members were busy with. Because they were the ones who defined what was going to happen within the local congregation. And someone said, by receiving new members through baptism and transfer from another church, the local church tells the watching world, this person is a citizen of God's kingdom. Beloved, and if people look at Newcastle Baptist Church and they look at the members of Newcastle Baptist Church and they ask themselves the question, is that what the kingdom of God looks like? It looks just like the world. Is that how it's supposed to be? No. So not only do we define what membership looks like, but we're also the ones that needs to live what we believe biblical membership looks like. Very important. A local church, members of a local church are responsible to love one another. John chapter 13, verse 35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. How will people know that we are the disciples of Christ? Simple. If you have love for one another. So they're going to look at the local church, they're going to look at you and me, and they're going to say, oh, you know what? I can see that these people are children of God. We can see that they follow Christ because they love one another. They have a sacrificial love for one another that is visible. It's an active love. It's not the passive love, it's an active love. Let me quote the following that was said, saying that church members are responsible to love one another is also almost like saying birds have a responsibility to fly. Now we're talking about the birds that's supposed to fly. Eh? Very interesting. You see, beloved, in the New Testament, when we look at membership and we look at loving one another, love is tangible, it's active, it shows through our service to one another, when we love one another. And all these passages in the Bible that speaks about one another, love one another, nah, care for one another, those passages are all very important because those one another passages, I think there's about 56 of them, those one another passages helps us to understand what our responsibility is towards our fellow brothers and sisters when we love them. We truly love them biblically. Beloved, if we love one another, we will discipline one another. If we love one another, I will desire to build my fellow brother and sister up, not break them down. If I love my fellow brother and sister, I will be active in seeking to maintain and promote a spirit of unity in a bond of peace among my fellow brothers and sisters. I'll be serious about prayer, praying for my fellow brothers and sisters, being there for them, caring for them. I will desire to bear their burdens, and I will show hospitality, and I will desire to put the interests of my fellow brothers and sisters ahead of my own interests, and that will show that I love them. And I will seek to develop meaningful relationships with them. The fifth responsibility is to submit to leaders. And I need to just read what Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 says. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. This is the ESV, now, English Standard Version. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Obey, submit. But beloved, it is said that members should not follow their elders blindly, but insofar as the elders are teaching the scriptures, the word of God, and leading the church biblically, church members should submit to their wisdom and their counsel and their instruction. Not because they are likable, lovable, charismatic kind of people, but because they are examples of what it means to be godly. That's why we follow and submit to our leaders. Then the sixth responsibility for members of a local church is to evangelize the lost. It's a responsibility. Brother Nelson touched on it during the missions slot. It's a responsibility. It's a command. Now go. Go. Make disciples. That's a command. All right. So it's not a request. It's not a good suggestion by Christ. It's a command. It's Jesus telling the church to go. And every single member must make disciples. We are called to announce the message of reconciliation to people who are separated from God. They are without hope, without God in this world, and we are the ones who has the message or the ministry of reconciliation, and we need to take it to them. We are the ones who need to announce the reign of Christ, that He has all authority, that He reigns supreme, that He is King, and that they need to repent and believe on Him and Him alone. Then there's one last one that I wanted to share with you quickly. And it's just very, very quick. Each one of these I can expand on. You can see that. So it's just kind of a little summary of the responsibilities of members of a local church. But beloved, members of a local church are responsible to maintain the church. All right, now, obviously, now we're talking about two different things here. There's obviously the spiritual side, okay? And the spiritual side, we can't do the maintenance. As an elder of the church, I take God's word, I hear what God wants to say to the church, and then I prepare and I take God's word and I expound it. I share it with you. And that's spiritual. So God is ministering to you spiritually. And there are times when you use the gifts that God has given you to minister to one another spiritually. So that's the one side in the maintenance of the church, is to minister to one another spiritually. But there's also the physical side. And this is where members of the church, when they become part of the membership of the church, they take up responsibilities. Physical responsibilities. For example, the 29th is a work party. The men call it a work party. Maybe you must drop the word party and call it a boot camp. Or call it a sweat camp or something like that. Labor camp. Yes, a labor camp. No, I'm joking. So the men are going to get together and they're going to do maintenance on the building and places where things need to be done. It's the responsibility. And I want to emphasize this. It is one of the responsibilities of the members of this local congregation to put their hands into the maintenance of the church. If the men are not going to do it, nothing is going to happen. God has given us this church, these buildings. God has given us these buildings. He has blessed us. Many, many years ago, these buildings were already purchased, and it's here, and we have this amazing privilege to make use of it, and it's a blessing. Beloved, if we do not take up our responsibility to maintain it, God will take it away. And guess what? He can do it in an instant. Just like that. So, we have to take up our responsibility when it comes to physical things. That includes things like finances for the maintenance of the church, for the different things that happens within the church. It is the responsibility of the members. As much as it's a spiritual thing, because God is the one who blesses the members, no? As much as God blesses the members of the church, in so much they can give to God's work. I always say, if I see the finances go down and that little word, the request goes up on this board that says, please pray for the finances of the church. You know what I'm seeing? You know what I'm seeing? The members are not being blessed by God. And my question is, why? Beloved, why are you not being blessed by God so you can bless His church? Why can't you take up the responsibility? Because God hasn't blessed you. Why isn't He blessing you? Maybe it's time for introspection. Because it's only in as much as God has blessed you, no? It's not this thing that you take up money that you do not have. That's rubbish. That's nonsense. Or money that you owe. You know, you borrow money and then you take a part of it and you give it to the church. That's nonsense. It's in as much as God has blessed you, you take of that and you give to the church as God leads you. And then you do it with a big smile on your face because it's a joyful thing to give. And God loves a joyful giver. No compulsion, but responsibility. You hear what I'm saying? Responsibility. Beloved, likewise, there's different things that we can look at when it comes to the local church. Not just physical and also spiritual when it comes to the finances, maintenance, the caring of one another. Caring is not a spiritual thing. Yes, there's a spiritual element to it when we minister to one another. But it's physical. It's caring. Being there for one another. To support one another. So those are some of the responsibilities of being a member of a local congregation. Let me conclude. I believe with all of my heart that no athlete who joins a team, now let's say he's part of a, or she's part of a team that is going to play soccer. Nobody goes and says, hey, you know what, I would like to sit on the side of the field during practice and during games. I just want to be there. No, you become part of the team. You take up your responsibility and you play the game because it's part of your responsibility. You come to practices because it's part of your responsibility. If you don't want to come to the practices, why join the team? You're going to be the weakest link in the team. Get out. Go somewhere else where everybody's lazy. The church is not for lazy people. The church are for people who take up their responsibility. They're like ants. Busy glorifying God in everything they do. Beloved, church membership is far more important than being part of a sports team or whatever. But the problem is that individualism and, you know, this consumerism, what is in it for me? And easy believism and unbiblical church policies that just destroys what membership of a church is actually all about. These things creep into the church and it just destroys wherever it goes. You've heard, and I've given you seven responsibilities this morning of a local church. Have you taken up those responsibilities? Because if you haven't, beloved, maybe it's time for some introspection. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you what the problem is. Repent. Get actively involved. There's that book, Brother Tony introduced me to the book, Church is Not a Spectator Sport. It's not. So let me end off with this question. I asked it already. Have you taken up your responsibility in this church? And by the way, I'm not talking about any other church. Congregation, I'm saying. I'm talking to Newcastle Baptist Church. Of course, you are members of Newcastle Baptist Church. I'm the pastor of Newcastle Baptist Church. The fact that we are broadcasting on the airwaves of the internet and whatever, I'm not the pastor of anyone else. I'm the pastor of the members of this local congregation. So I'm speaking to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege that we can take up the responsibilities that you've given us as members. And yeah, we don't always see that. We see it as a schlep sometimes, and we see it as, I don't want to do this, and we get lazy, and there's so many things that can prevent us from taking up our responsibilities. Father, I pray in Jesus' precious name this morning that you will enable us to not only hear about our responsibilities, but to take responsibility. And I pray for each one of us, Father. Each member. And I pray for those who are, let's say, hanging in the middle. They don't know whether they want to become members or not members or whatever. I pray, Father, that you will add them to a local congregation where you want them, so that you may be glorified at the end of the day. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being a member of a local congregation. Thank you that we can be members of Newcastle Baptist Church. And I pray for each one of us, Father, that we will take up those responsibilities, that we will, and we will do those things that glorify you. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.